Kaya, Wanju, hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew FPS, and this is a podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and curators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Boolu, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded. If we consider who some of the great modern Aussie cinematographers are, then we immediately think of names like Michael Latham, Stefan Dusgaard, Jacqueline Patterson, or the man behind the camera of such films as Off and Age, You Won't Be Alone, Hafakasi, Howl, Blue Bayou, My First Summer, and Sophie Hyde's upcoming film, Jimper. I'm of course talking about Matthew Chuang. Across his filmography, Matthew has lensed films with a level of empathy, compassion, and understanding that imbues the work with a warmth and tenderness and ensures that the stories linger in your mind long after the credits have rolled. When I think of Matthew's work, I think of the golden hour shots in Katie Found's My First Summer, or the discovery of queer identities in Goran Stolevsky's intimate Off and Age, or the child-level perspective of the world in Annalise Hickey's stunning Hafakasi. With Jimper, he becomes part of Sophie Hyde's family, shooting the film with the inspiration from Nan Golden's work. In the following interview, recorded at the Sundance Film Festival in 2025, Matthew talks through his work and creative process, while also exploring the notion of what makes his cinematography unique. For Australian audiences, you can see Matthew's work in Dominique Marshall's stunning new short film, Howl, which is making the festival rounds. I believe it's also screening at MIFF right now. Matthew also talks about Dario Rosso's new film, The Foxed, which is on the horizon and stars Jay Courtney, Damon Harriman, and Emily Browning. If you're keen on finding out more about Matthew's work, then visit matthewchuang.com. If you want to find out more about the work that we do on The Curb, then head over to thecurb.com.au or follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Blue Sky at thecurbau. We're a completely independent ad-free website that lives on support of listeners and readers just like yourself. So if you can, visit patreon.com/thecurbau where you can support our work from as little as $1 a month. And look, if you're unable to financially support us, then please consider sharing this interview with your film-loving friends. We'd also love it if you could rate and review us on the podcast player of your choice. Every review helps amplify the interviews and stories from filmmakers to a wider audience. New interviews drop on Thursdays, with bonus chats appearing on Tuesdays, just like this one. Right, that's enough from me talking. Here is a clip from Off and Age, followed by my interview with Matthew Chuang.
Oh my gosh.
Hey! Wake up, princess!
She's dead.
Look at her.
Your Macedonian ex is gonna kill me.
Oh, chill. He won't.
I guess let's then start talking about the kind of projects you're interested in. What kind of films you're interested in actually being attached to, what you want to lens, and what kind of style of story that you want to bring to life?
That's a good question. Normally, I guess it's just, you know, if the film itself and the director has a point of view, and really if it's that point of view that is something that I could learn from, you know, I try to like, yeah, with, you know, because you spend so long on a project, you kind of want to work with people that, you know, have something to say and what the film is, you know, like learning about what the film is about and why it matters and how we can tell that in a truthful kind of way.
It, to me, from like my perspective, at least, there seems to be almost a concerted effort for the features and some of the shorts that you've done to really focus on marginalized stories and queer stories as well. Is that a conscious effort, or is it just happens to be that way, that they're the films that you do?
It kind of just happens to be the filmmakers that kind of come to me, and yeah, it just so happens that, you know, yeah, once again, like, it's a point of view that I kind of stand by, and yeah, it's just by circumstance, kind of.
Yeah, which makes sense. So where did that interest of that kind of storytelling come from when you started off wanting to be a cinematographer? Because I know that when you started, like, the journey into filmmaking, cinematography wasn't exactly your initial thing that you're going to kick off with, was it?
I mean, it's something that I was kind of always drawn towards the visual language or something. That's kind of probably how I started, you know, watching movies, and it's something that I kind of was like learning from quite a bit. And it's like, oh, how do they block that scene? How do they do that? You know, and of course it started off with like, you know, flashy kind of stuff like Spielberg or like even Michael Bay films or, you know, Hong Kong cinema. And then, yeah, then it obviously, you know, as I grew as a person, progressed into the more, you know, the films in the 2000s, like Wong Kar-wai films and, you know, some of the French, the Mexican New Wave films coming out then, City of God, you know, then it kind of just progressed onto that. And then now it's just like, yeah, you know, like what I could add to that and, you know, learn from what's done before and hopefully bring something new.
And like some of the films that I know you've mentioned, like City of God, like the Wong Kar-wai films, they're really immersing you in a style of reality which is quite grounded in a lot of ways. Obviously still cinematic, but it's presented in this way that you're immersing yourselves into the lives of the characters. What drives you to that kind of viewpoint as a cinematographer?
I mean, you know, quite a lot of the films that I have done is, you know, it's based in, you know, some kind of like realism, I guess, you know. So, or, you know, even with like You Won't Be Alone, that film is, the concept of that film is so out there that, you know, speak with God. It's just like, oh, well, how can we get, you know, people to believe in this world? And really just comes down to, you know, does it feel real? And once again, that kind of comes into how visually and technically it is to quite a lot of what I do when it comes to the camera and lighting and stuff is really to help support the actors. You know, the mechanics of filmmaking can get quite full on, and, you know, we have stands and, you know, marks and all that kind of stuff. But I try to not do a lot of that to allow the actors to kind of just be in the space and, you know, work with production designer like Beth Ryan, you know, who I've done 4 films with now. You know, we have the same kind of approach, and, you know, she really does a great job in having sets that feel real, very, very detailed. And, you know, I'm really like supporting her with that as well. And once again, it's all kind of like more about the actors.
When you jump onto a project, like working with Goran or even Sophie, for example, they've got a script. Do you build a storyboard together and then you're working with Beth to alongside production design? Or what's your process like when you jump on a project?
I mean, to be honest, it really is how the director wants to work. It's really, you know, like each director is very different. You know, with Goran, for example, we never talk about shots, really. Like, you know, with Goran, it's very different because, you know, like, of course, we look at locations and with, you know, with the team and Beth, and, you know, if that location feels right, then, you know, we kind of like start building from that, like when it comes to lighting, for example. But with Goran's films, the way it's shot, you know, the cast come on and he has a conversation with them, and then we just start filming. Like, there's no rehearsals, there's no kind of blocking. And, you know, I'm very in tune with what they're doing. And that was kind of the same way we shot Hafkasi, you know, like, Anna asked us, like, hey, how did you guys do that? And I kind of explained to her, like, this is how we do it, and this is why we do it. It's really for the actors to kind of just do their thing and just focus on their performance. And, you know, I think of the camera kind of like an actor. So, you know, it's like that, you know, third character in the room, really. And, you know, each take is different. And, you know, we just shoot it until we feel like we have the scene and we have a discussion. are we missing something for the edit, or is there a beat that we're missing? But yeah, it's kind of quite fluid, but you know, it is a big strain on the crew because they don't quite know what's going to happen. But that's also kind of exciting and thrilling. And it's okay if, you know, like, you know, we try and obviously not to miss a moment when there's, you know, the cast on set, but you know, it's, yeah, it's okay to try things and be a bit kind of like daring. You know, with someone like Sophie, you know, she wants to discuss and, you know, talk about what the scene's about. And, you know, she has her process with her cast and, you know, so yeah, there's more discussions on like how the scene would be shot and what potentially what the blocking might be and how to cover that. But yeah, that's kind of like more like a rough kind of shot list. But you know, and once again, like when we're on location, you know, I bring a camera with me, you know, just a small like red Komodo, and I'm kind of like shooting frames of what I feel the space is giving us. And you know, I pass them on to Sophie and she looks at them, she thinks about, you know, or she might be with me as like, hey, well, what does it look like from this angle? And you know, so I have a pretty good idea going in. And yeah, just being kind of like flexible once the cast get there, because it's all kind of based on the cast and you know how that blocking kind of like comes out.
You've also worked a lot with emerging actors or kind of first-time actors as well. You Won't Be Alone, Off an Age, and Jim Perrin, and even Have Cassie as well. There is a lot of, you know, novice, I guess, is the probably impolite term to use, but how do you make the space safe for them? What kind of conversations are you having with the younger actors?
So yeah, I mean, once again, like it's almost, I mean, you know, so with the short film Have a Kasi, you know, the ending of the film where the girl comes and sees the family and then they're singing, you know, unfortunately that was the first thing we had to shoot for that because of the location. And you know, like when she came on set, you could tell, it's like, oh, like this is the first time ever on, you know, and it was a tiny film set, you know, like we're on real location in Footscray in the market. But you know, she came on and you can tell, it's like, oh, she has no idea what's going on and what she should do, you know. And you know, the first AD at the time, you know, it's our first setup, and he was like, oh, do you want to block it, you know, you want to rehearse it? And then I just started recording and I just said to the director, I was like, hey, I'm just rolling now, just, you know, I'm just gonna move around and you just tell her like what you need her to do, you know. So we just started doing it in that way, and then straight away we could see, oh yeah, you know, we take the pressure off. It doesn't have to, like, well, you know, we don't have to have the mechanics or the technicality of filmmaking. We just take that away, and then you know, it's just her in the space with the other cast, and then you know, I'm just moving around them, you know, like we just keep filming until, you know, we feel like we have those moments. And then by pulling that away, there's like less pressure on the actors, especially if they're, you know, fairly new to this filmmaking world. So, you know, that's the reason why we do it. And, you know, like quickly, you know, the young girl felt comfortable and it's like, oh, okay, like we can try it a few different times and, you know, there's no like pressure, but like the pressure's taken off. So, like, you know, just be, you can just be present. And I guess that's the approach with, you know, like all the actors, is like try to take the pressure off them and yeah, just giving them a free space to, you know, be in it.
Let's then step back a little bit, because all of these kinds of this discussion is like about that realism there. And in Australian cinema, that kind of sense of realism for a long time, almost until you came along in a way, and certain other cinematographers too, that sense of realism, like I'm thinking of Michael Latham, for example, and
Michael, great, yeah.
And like that realism just wasn't there in Australian cinema for a period of time. Was that part of the reason why you felt like you needed to go afar to kind of build up a little bit of a career before you could come back here?
I mean, to be honest, I went as far as because no one in Australia would give me a opportunity at that time. And, you know, that's because, you know, like on paper at the time, I've done, you know, commercials and music videos and, you know, some doco stuff here and there, but never a narrative project. And it wasn't until, you know, I came to the US and, you know, did Blue Bayou with Justin Chan. And even then, it was hard for me to get approved for that particular film because it was so early, you know, in my career. And then, you know, once again, it's just like working with filmmakers who want to be daring and sincere and, you know, what they believe makes a film that's engaging. Well, I guess that particular project. So it's just kind of like finding filmmakers that you align with on quite a lot of different levels. And then, you know, same with Goran. It's like, yeah, we felt like this was the way to make that film, You Won't Be Alone. And, you know, as we, you know, it's a progression. Like we start doing, like, you know, no one knows what they're doing is going to be right or wrong. You just kind of like just start doing it. And, you know, you have this, you know, you have talks and ideas of, hey, this could possibly work. And when you start doing it, you're like, oh, wow, that turned out better than I thought. Or, you know, maybe this isn't working in reality. So, you know, like, how do we pivot? You know, and I guess it's more just trusting your instincts. And, you know, like, yeah, we don't always have to shoot the way people tell us how to shoot. You know, we can be quite unconventional in our approach as long as it feels right for us. And, you know, I mean, this kind of style does work for us, and, you know, we shoot incredibly fast. So, you know, production's not so, you know. And of course, you know, like you need producers to understand and support as well. You know, like when we started shooting this one, You Won't Be Alone, the first couple of days, I'm like, oh, this is so unconventional. I wonder, you know, what Christina Seaton, the producer from Causeway, what she's going to think. Is she, you know, after a few takes, she'll come up, she's like, oh my God, like that was incredible. You know, like, you know, it just felt real present and more alive. And I guess that's just like, oh, okay, wow, like that's great that you feel that way. And, you know, it seems like this is working, so let's just keep pushing it, you know. Yeah, there are times we tried something a bit more choreographed, a bit more designed, but it just felt too, for us, it felt too staged, and we kind of just kept going back to, like, yeah, our more lively approach.
So then let's shift over then talking about Jimpo, because that in itself is you're building another relationship there, but you're also stepping on as a cinematographer, and usually Sophie would shoot with Brian, who is a producer
Yes.
and editor from what I understand. What's it like stepping into that
Yes.
relationship and lensing there?
I mean, that was something that, you know, I have a huge amount of respect for the both of them and their partnership together. And, you know, like, yeah, through some circumstances, some health issues and stuff like that, Brian, you know, they felt like Brian might not be up to shooting it, but he's still a co-producer, he still cut the film, so he's still very much a part of that. And, you know, like for me, when I heard that both Brian and Sophie are both in a relationship but also have a working relationship, I kind of wanted to see what that was like. And, you know, that's something that I've always thought, oh, I wonder if that could work. You know, like having relationships in film is quite difficult. And that's something that, you know, when I heard about that, I was, you know, very intrigued. And, you know, first, you know, like we just hung out as friends and, you know, fellow filmmakers. And then, you know, they told me about this film, and it sounded incredible. And, you know, I wished them all the best. And then, yeah, then I got the call like a couple of months later, say, would you be interested? Yeah, which was, yes, of course, you know. So, yeah, it was like, yeah, balancing that out. And, you know, like when we're discussing the scenes, you know, it'll be the three of us, and it's just like, you know, like a quite a open discussion. And then, you know, yeah. And it's, you know, really great to have another DP on set because you can just throw ideas with. And sometimes you'll shoot two cameras and Brian will be involved in that and he'll be on one of the cameras. And, you know, working together with him was a great experience.
I mean, that's one of the things, like, I know that everybody kind of uses the thing that when you step onto a film set, you're building and you're like stepping into a family, a new family in some ways. But specifically, yep, like with Jim Pert, like you are literally stepping into a family situation.
Yeah. That is exactly right.
And then it's a story about family too. So.
Yeah. And then it's a story about their family too, you know, like, a version of their family.
What's that like? I mean, that's, you know, being brought into the fold in some ways. You are then becoming effectively a co-storyteller through your visual style in that particular way. That's that's a kind of a nice gift or a powerful gift to be able to receive, I imagine.
Oh yeah, and you know, yeah, and then you know, the way, you know, the way Sophie describes when she puts together a crew is the same as casting, you know, like she wants, you know, she's looking for, you know, how that whole dynamic works as a whole with, you know, all the other pieces. And, you know, she wants you to bring quite a lot of yourself into the film and your own experiences and bring that. And, you know, she also knew that at that point, Beth Ryan, a production designer, was on already. And she knew that, you know, her and I have a really strong relationship. So, you know, yeah, I'm sure that was all part of it.
I understand as well that, like, the film is, like, your visual style of it is partially influenced by the work of Nan Golden. Can you talk about kind of the discovery of Nan Golden's work in Amsterdam and how that's influenced the film too?
Yeah, so, you know, Nan Golden was obviously, you know, has been a filmmaker, photographer who, you know, quite a lot of filmmakers are inspired by. But, you know, when we scouted in Amsterdam in January, you know, there was a Nan Golden show that we all went to, and, you know, that was really great. And then, you know, we already had quite a lot of her work as pieces that were kind of like, you know, we'd look at them and discuss, hey, well, like, why does this photograph hold your attention? And, you know, we try to, like, dissect and discuss and then see how, you know, so those characteristics can work for certain moments in our film. And, you know, quite a lot of our flashbacks we looked at quite a lot of Nan Golden, you know. It's like, you know, these flashbacks are kind of like pieced throughout the scene with different characters, you know. And it's kind of like, oh, you know, like, this is a piece, this is a moment in their past that has shaped who they are in their present. And, you know, like, how to, like, show quite a lot of history in one frame, you know. So sometimes it's like a portrait, sometimes it's almost like a point of view, sometimes it's like a vignette of a certain moment. And yeah, that was always quite fun to
shoot. And I understand as well, like, you try and kind of, I guess the best way of putting it would be quarantine yourself from being influenced from other cinematographers, but you are carrying on elements of their work, or like Nan Golden, their photography of the work there. I'm curious, how do you kind of manage that balance of being influenced by somebody else? Like, I know with You Won't Be Alone, there's all this talk about it being like a Malick style and things like that, but it still feels like a Matthew Chong film, right? So how do you balance that, that kind of influence and your style?
I mean, yeah, you know, like, yeah, of course, it's just like, oh, you know, like, being inspired, but also bringing a lot of your own, because, you know, you don't want to just copy Nan Golden, or you don't want to copy, you know, Terrence Malick, or you don't want to, you know. So a lot of it is, I guess this is all kind of like instinctual, really. Like, just really what's in front of you and what that particular scene is, and try not to overthink it as well, you know. Like, especially with, like, the films are gone, like, they're just so spontaneous and they're so instinctual that you don't even have time to think, even though you think about a million different things. So I guess that's the thing, is just being present and just responding, and then hopefully your instincts guide you in a way that feels right. And I guess that's when you do have your own personal touch to something.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like now, like I was saying with Matthew Latham, Michael Latham, sorry. When I, you know, see his name pop up, or even like I watched Wolves Come at Night last year, which is this powerful, powerful documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
Immediately, I didn't know that he shot it. And so you sit down, you're like, oh, this is that, right?
Yeah.
And it was the same with Off an Age.
Yeah.
I had no idea that you had shot it. And then I sat down in the first 5 minutes and I'm like, hang on a second. Because I don't tend to look at the cast until afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Oh, great. Oh, yeah, that's great.
And then, yeah.
You know, I mean.
Keep going.
So, we've, Gone and second film of an age, you know, it's very, very different to You Won't Be Alone, but it's, you know, same director, and it's a lot, obviously a lot more scripted than You Won't Be Alone, you know, with, you know, scenes of dialogue and, you know, car stuff. And, you know, when we started doing that, I just said to Gar, I was like, hey, do you want to do what we did on You Won't Be Alone, just shape it for this film, or do you want to completely, you know, change the approach? And he's like, no, let's just keep doing that. And then, you know, obviously it's shaped to that particular film, but we did approach it in the same, I guess, approach or method, you could say. But yeah, obviously a very, very different world.
Well, I mean, what I was gonna say as well is, like, then when I sit down and watch something like Hafikasi, and I'm like, I watch that film and then your name pops up and I'm like, of course, right? And it's not always just the look, it's the feel of it. And that's a really important thing, because the entry point for a film is what we're seeing. And it's kind of a gift that we're getting to be able to see it through your eyes, which is your interpretation of the actors and this in it, like the editor and the writer and all this kind of stuff. So that relationship with an audience is such a strong one. Is that something you ever think about at all? Or how does your relationship with an audience, I guess, factor into your work? I guess the best way to putting it.
I guess you're conscious of it, but maybe more so, you know, like, once again, like, when I'm shooting something, I'm thinking about quite a lot of things. Some of it's technical, some of it's not, but it's more, I guess, instinctually, once again, like, how does it feel? How does the scene feel? And, you know, especially when the film is handheld, you know, I do start thinking like the characters, and so I guess it really just comes down to that. It's like, yeah, does each scene, you know, does it feel like we're capturing this in a way that feels real? And we still have, you know, we capture those beats, and mostly, once again, like, it's the actors. So I'm just really responding to them. I guess this is really that. And, you know, like I said, no one knows what they're doing is right or wrong. It's just in the moment, you're like, oh, does this feel right? Yeah, I think it does, you know? And then it's just like, okay, we're on to the next scene.
Well, it's that emotional truth of it, right? is what you want. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I guess you could say it's the same with an actor. It's like, you know, you go one direction of performance and you adjust, and then you're like, oh, yeah, does this feel right? Or, you know, it takes you a couple of takes to find it, or you just, like, get on the first, you know? So, yeah, I guess it's kind of like that. And, yeah, you're just trying to find, what does feel real.
I mean, again, I love seeing what you're doing on screen and what stories you bring to life on screen. It's wonderful. It's great to see it. As we lead into wrapping up, one of the discussions which I like to have, especially with Australian creatives, is about what it means to be an Australian creative. And I think from your perspective as a cinematographer, as we were talking about, like, your stories are Australian-based sometimes, international, yet there is still that Matthew style to it, right? So what does it mean to be an Australian-based cinematographer working on a global sense nowadays?
I mean, that's a good question. I don't know, maybe like you have that kind of like, ready to kind of just get down and figure this thing out. And, you know, I mean, yeah, I don't know if,
It's a hard
yeah,
question, I know. Yeah.
I don't quite, yeah, because I'm like, yeah, I grew up in Australia, of course, but, you know, like, lately I've just been doing more Australian films, you know, like Jimpers, you know, is an Australian film, but, you know, quite a lot shot in Europe, and, yeah. You know, like you technically you won't be alone in an Australian film, even though it's in Macedonia and shot in Serbia. You know, I guess it's just maybe the approach of it, and you know, just like yeah, ready, just get in there and you know, not to be too, you know, yeah, I guess it's all about the actual film, you know, yeah. There's a film I did just recently called The
Oh
Fox with Dario
yeah.
Russo.
I'm excited for that.
Christina Seton once again was a producer, and Bethany Ryan once again was a production designer. I'm really excited for that one to come out because I think it's very, very different. It's like all locked off shots and slow zooms. Yeah, Dario wanted to go for this like 70s kind of feel to it, but it's set in, you know, small country town in Australia. And yeah, I'm
Yeah,
curious what you think of
nice.
that one, because it's kind of like, yeah, no, it feels right to us, but you know, like, but yeah, that film was quite out there too, and it's about, yeah, no, yeah, that's probably the most like, maybe that's the most like openly Australian film I guess I've been, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, Of an Age is Australian as well, and Jimpers Australian, you know, but I guess, yeah, The Fox probably feels like, I guess more like wider of Australia, maybe.
I'm excited about the
Yeah.
Zooms as well. Like Zooms feel like they've gone out of style in a way nowadays.
I really, really loved working on that film and changing that whole approach, and yeah, like this sometimes the scene is just one zoom, you know, like, and it felt right, and you know, like it was really like really exciting to work with Dara on that film.
Nice.
So yeah, I'll be curious.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll be curious what you think of
Well,
that.
I've got Jimper and I've got the Fox to look out for. Yeah, really excited. Matthew, it's been a real treat to be able to talk with you. Yeah. All right,
Thank you very
anytime.
much, Andrew.
Thank you
Yeah.
for the work that you do.
Appreciate it.
Continue doing great stuff. Yeah,
Oh, thank you, man.
looking forward to it.
Oh.
Thanks for listening to this chat with Matthew Chuang. Visit MatthewChuang.com for more information about his work and to look at some of his showreels there. For other interviews and reviews, visit thecurb.com.au. Please rate, review and share this interview with your film-loving friends. We hope they like it as much as you have. I'm Andrew F. Pierce, and I'll see you on the next one.